But joining us right now on the Newsmaker line is a woman whose son, McCray, is a student at Umpqua Community College. And she joins us right now, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Marilyn Kettleman. Marilyn, welcome. And I'm sorry we have to meet under these circumstances.
Yeah, it's not a very good day, that's for sure.
Yeah. So tell us your son's story.
Well, I'm a former county commissioner here in Douglas County, and so often when things happen, people call me to see if I know what's going on. And so I got a call from a constituent who had heard there was a shooting, and I called some folks I knew at the county and verified that, in fact, there were several people that had been shot. They were in the process of trying to put down the shooter. So I quickly got on text message with my son, who was supposed to be out there in class, and my son McCray is 17. And was able to get through quickly to him, and he said, yeah, Mom, we're down hiding behind chairs in our classroom, but we think it's just a drill. And I said, no, it's definitely not a drill. You know, stay down and stay safe. And so that led to a two-hour texting session before we could finally get him out. And, yeah, it was a pretty traumatic 2 hours and very, very alarming.
Did the murderer ever enter the building that your son was hunkered down in?
No, he was in the next building. And just to kind of give you a picture, it's a small town. We have 22,000
right.
people. There's only a little over 100,000 in the county. And so our community college is very active, but most of the class sizes are 25 or 30 kids to a class. And the buildings are small and close together. And so he was just in the next building for my son. And fortunately, my son overslept or he'd have been in that building.
Yeah, well, there's something to be said for being a teenager.
Man.
Yeah.
Occasionally
yeah.
it breaks in your favor. But it also, all of this points out how capricious all of this is. It's really, one of the phrases that I fight to expunge from the vocabulary is in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because to me, an honest person who's going about living their life in freedom is never in the wrong place.
Well, that's right.
It's the person who's a maniac who shows up to murder people on a college campus or a movie theater or wherever. They're in the wrong place, always.
Exactly, and it's also really important to remember that we need to point fingers at one thing only, and that's the person who did the damage. Everybody has a choice. Everybody has a decision. He made a bad decision and did horrible, horrible damage to people. And we need to stop blaming everything on the car, the gun, the what, the drink, the whatever, and start laying the blame exactly where it belongs. And kudos to our sheriff, who made a public statement yesterday and said, I will never ever utter his name, the shooter's name. I will not give him a moment of glory that he wanted. And we're going to follow suit. We're not mentioning his name. He does not exist except the horrible, horrible crime he did.
Yeah, we actually have followed suit this morning on the show. We've been here since 5 this morning. I mean, and I think it's a symbolic gesture. I mean, obviously, the news is the news, and there's a big Los Angeles, Southern California connection to this story because apparently the murderer lived in Torrance just a few miles down the road from us. His dad still lives in Tarzana. And he went to school down here, etc. So a big part of the story. And in the age of social media, there's just no way to keep that. But there's also no question that we know from online posting that he was seeking some kind of a demented fame because he made references to Vester Flanagan, who was the crazy ex-newsman who went and shot the reporter and the cameraman live on the air in Virginia. And, of course, maybe the greatest example of this is Mark David Chapman, who murdered John Lennon and is now forever linked to John Lennon's name. You can't read about John Lennon without sooner or later coming to Mark David Chapman's name.
Well, and around here we've had a lot of discussion. In fact, all of my kids are up this morning because we are Christians and we go to church. And one of the things that this shooter did was line people up and say, are you a Christian? And if you're a Christian, he shot you right in the head, one after another. And if you weren't, he shot you somewhere else. And so, you know, we had a big discussion with our family this morning about what do you do? What are you going to do? Because we're not going to turn away from our God regardless. And it's pretty easy to say when you're not the guy in that room.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a definite point to his murders, and it's happening globally, and we're going to either wake up or we're going to pay for it. And he's not from here, and, you know.
Yeah, that was my question, Marilyn. You mentioned being the county commissioner. Do you know anything about the time that this guy and his mother spent in your area?
just that he hadn't been here very long and he's not from here. And so what we don't know at this point, and they were tearing his house apart last night, what we don't know is, did he come here intentionally to commit this and it took him a little while? Did he just accidentally end up here and say, wow, this is the perfect spot? It's really hard to say. Was he part of a cell? Was he big, part of a bigger organization where they're spreading out to do this or that? Who knows?
Well, and his mother apparently is living in the area too. So there also, we now have reports that the mom and the son used to go to the gun range together, which again, and the kid also apparently attended a school down here that is noted for dealing with kids with emotional disturbances. And, you know, that's reminiscent of Adam Lanza and his mom at Sandy Hook Elementary as a kid who was clearly disturbed, and she's taking him to the gun range to bond with him. And maybe if your kid is clearly disturbed, that's not necessarily the best place to go bond with your kid.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is? The difference is you can teach them and make them aware and enjoy time together. But if he had mental issues, he could not legally own a gun anyway. So passing another gun law or putting more things in place, if somebody is absolutely committed to taking other lives,
agree.
Do it anyway.
Agree. But yeah. What I'm saying is that if you're the parent of a mentally disturbed child, perhaps you should seek some other way to bond with your kid.
I guess every parent needs to make that decision. But we know too that the sniper who was murdered by somebody he was trying to help with a gun had also saved dozens and dozens of Marines from the brink of insanity by taking him to the gun range. So, you know, again, can't blame the gun, can't blame the action, can't blame the parent. You have to blame the person who did it. And you know, and I'm not sure you could stop this. You just have to be, the only way you can stop it is with a gun, which is how they stopped it. They stopped it with a gun. Every one of these shootings, they stop with a gun. So the question is, how do you have them where you need them, and safely, of course, but we didn't have a single armed security guard on campus because it's a gun-free zone.
Yeah, but we just talked a few, about an hour ago. We talked with the editor of the Beacon, the Roseburg Beacon, David Jakes, who's very emphatically Second Amendment and shares your opinions on what the response is. But he told us that the state police barracks is like right across the street, and that the sheriff's department responded within 3 minutes, and that there were students actually on campus who had permit to carry, who were carrying.
Yes, but here's what happened, okay? First of all, just to give you a perspective, Oregon State Patrol is about 3/4 of a mile away, and Douglas County was closer. Douglas County responded. They took out the shooter within 3 minutes. And how many shots did he get off in 3 minutes? 3 minutes is too long. 3 minutes is about two and a half, 2:45 minutes too long. We do have concealed carry holders. We had a group of veterans on campus,
right,
who were willing to respond, and they would not let them out of their room. Those guys, when they heard the first shot, made a beeline for the door to try to save somebody, and they kept them in the room. Now, could they have overthrown them? I don't know. But the reality is nobody in that classroom was able to defend themselves or another.
Okay, so I get it, and I'm not arguing with you that, because that's common sense, that if somebody in the classroom who was not crazy, who was trained with weapons, had been armed, they could have taken this guy out. But I do think that it's representative of some kind of terrible sickness in America that we have to have this conversation, that the minister should have been armed in a prayer meeting in Charleston, South Carolina, and that in order to go to a prayer meeting in a church, you have to be packing heat. There's something wrong here. Something's gone wrong.
Yeah, you're right. But I don't think they should have to, and I agree with you that we should not be in this place. Unfortunately, this anti-gun mentality and the we'll let the police take care of us and we won't take care of ourselves mentality has got us here. We didn't used to be this way. It used to be when you lived in rural America, and people out here in the country where we live, they do have guns and they are able to protect themselves from whatever. My neighbor used to carry an open gun all the time. He's deceased now. And I actually did his eulogy, and he used to have a saying. People say, hey, why do you carry that gun on your hip? And he'd say, you never know when I might run into a dangerous varmint. Two-legged or four. You know, it might be a bear, it might be a rattlesnake, it might be whatever, but we know you have to take care of yourself out here. The city mentality and the anti-gun mentality has led people to not take care of themselves. Even people who believe in gun rights, who fully support the Second Amendment, do not feel comfortable going and getting a concealed carry permit and protecting or learning about it, because their family makes fun of them. People say, we've had the conversation with my college kids. One carries and one doesn't. And the other one says, well, that could never happen. That's so silly. You're never going to need that unless you do. And I think it's the anti-mentality that has led people to say, oh, I shouldn't do that. I'll never need it.
All right. We need
to be able to take care of ourselves.
Hey, listen, Marilyn, first of all, I'm thrilled that your son is okay. And thank you so much for coming on and presenting such a forceful opinion. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me and for looking at all the sides.
All right, Marilyn Kettleman, mother of a student who was up there in the classroom, or on campus, I should say, at the time of the shooting. Let's go get traffickers, Bill Thomas.